informative, and engaging. Rick Munn. Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, here we go. Tuesday, 20th of September, 2022. Locked and loaded, TNT Radio. Rick Munn. Yes, I'm back on the mic again today. And you know what? Why not? If I don't do it, who's going to do it? This is a dirty job I got here, a dirty job on TNT Radio. But if I don't do it, who's going to take this slot? I don't know. But I'm happy to be here. I'm happy that hopefully there's a few people tuning in and listening to the output that we have. I'm happy that I have some great people to talk to today. And, you know, I'm not so happy about the things I'm going to be discussing, but yet, here we have this double-edged sword. It's bad news, but there's plenty on the table to talk about. So later on in the show, Ben Pyle will be joining me from the UK, and then Richard Nichols will be beaming in from some mountain top in Mexico. And I must say, I'm not jealous in the slightest as I look out my window at the grey skies and the reducing temperature and the drizzle of Northern Ireland. Oh, I wish I was in Mexico. In Mexico! And you know what? I don't even drink, but I might even have a tequila. A tequila! Just to keep me going if I was there. Because listen, it's hard not to want to drive yourself to drink at the moment, to be quite frank, to try and just drown out all the nonsense that's going on at the minute. But we must keep our heads above water. We must stay afloat. And my first guest today, as usual, thank the Lord, on a Tuesday, I have a great chap to talk to in the shape and form of Darren Janner, Darren of Plymouth. And he has a few other aliases that I know, but you don't know. And we're going to keep it that way. Yes, we are, because some things just remain within TNT, and it's a big club. And if you want to join, you're going to have to get yourself in through the back door. Actually, we're a very small club. Thankfully, the men's shed, let's call ourselves the men's shed, and it's strictly by invite only. So Darren gets an invite today, and thankfully he has accepted it. What's going on? Well, the aftermath, of course, has now begun. The aftermath of the Queen's funeral. The flags are back up to full mast again. Yes, they lowered them to half mast yesterday. They're back up to full mast again. Half mast, full mast, three quarters mast, no mast. I don't care. The Queen's funeral, police arrested 67 people. Oh, I wonder who those 67 people were. Was it the war criminal Tony Blair? Did he get arrested for killing over a million Iraqis and being a lying dog? Was he one of the 67? You know, who else was there? Biden was there. Was he arrested for, you know, interfering with his own children and other people's children? Was he arrested? I wonder. Prince Andrew was there. Did the FBI collar him or the MI6 pick him up for questioning for being the best friend of Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, the two most notorious paedophilic child traffickers in known modern history? Was he one of the people arrested? Prince Charles, I wonder, was he arrested? Well, what did he do wrong? Well, you know, suitcases full of cash from Arab sheikhs, associations with the worst paedophiles in British history. And if you really want to dig into it, this is factual, by the way. Look up Lord Mountbatten. Look up Lord Mountbatten. See what his great uncle was all about. This was a man that the CIA and the FBI did investigative work on, and their conclusion was him and his wife were vile creatures. Think about that. That was the dossier that was prepared on them by the American Secret Service. But hey, I'm guessing they weren't some of the people that were collared yesterday for questioning. No, probably people walking the streets, maybe a little bit drunk, shouting a little bit of abuse because they were hacked off. I'm guessing they were the ones that were collared, jumped upon and carted away in handcuffs in the back of meat wagons. I'm guessing that's who it was. But hey, I'm just speculating here. Maybe I've got it all wrong. More than 250,000 people saw the Queen lying in state in Westminster Hall. I would say it's a heck of a lot more than that, actually. I think they're lowballing that. Sky News are lowballing that. The queues went on for days. They were 5 miles long. They were 24 hours long. There's no way. There must have been a million plus in that queue. Or maybe I'm wrong, but that's just the impression that I'm getting. But anyway, the queue has stopped. There was a queue for the queue. People were kept in a holding pen while they queued to join the queue. And yesterday, when they told the queuers that the queue was no longer functioning because it's time to go home and get a life, people started to complain. Oh, I've been waiting here for hours to join the queue, to queue for 10 hours in the queue, to shuffle past the box and then shuffle back out. I'm upset. I want to join the queue. I want the queue. And you wonder why this country's in the state that it's in. Prince Harry, the prince who wanted out but could not really leave. I'm going to be controversial here. I feel for that guy. I genuinely do. Forget about his royalty. Forget about Meghan. Prince Harry is the kind of guy I think that I could get on with as a human being if he was in my circle of friends. Oh, you're a royalist. No, I'm not. I'm not. There's a lot going on with that guy and has been for a long time. He's messed up. He's completely messed up. All right. I would not want to be in his shoes. I would not want to be in his position. I don't think I could deal with what he has dealt with and hold it all together. Either the death of his mother, the fact that his father was doing the dirt behind his mother's back, and his mother was doing the dirt behind his father's back, and his father is questionable. Let's just be honest about it, whether or not it's actually Prince Charles or not, which means the Queen may not have been his actual grandmother. Okay, now he's frozen out. He's had his titles removed. The guy did tours of duty, I believe, in Afghanistan on the front line. He was a bit of a rebel. He was a bit of a reprobate back in the day. I kind of liked him back in the day. Then he got sucked into the wrong people, into the wrong circle. And I get that. Who out there hasn't done that? Who hasn't got sucked in by the wrong person? Who hasn't started associating in the wrong circles and lost their marbles along the way? And yeah, he's worth a few quid. Yeah. He's got a privileged lifestyle, according to some, but that doesn't take away maybe what's going on in his head. There's a lot of rich people top themselves. There's a lot of rich people dealing with mental health issues. There's a lot of rich people just want to end it all. Money is not the be-all and end-all, and security and having a roof over your head doth not make a man or woman happy. But what do I know? What do I know? I know a lot. Blow my own trumpet. Yes, I can blow my own trumpet because I've been around the block, got a lot of scars mentally, emotionally, and spiritually to prove it. And yeah, if you disagree with me, you anonymous people out there, send me your name, address, telephone number, and let's meet up somewhere and you can have it out and call me what you think of me and tell me that I'm wrong face to face. Mano a mano, or just sit on your keyboards, bitching and whining. Anyway, this is my little therapy session, and you get to hear it. You unfortunate souls out there, you get to hear it. And I'm already getting warmed up. I've got 3 hours of this to go, so you better brace yourselves. TNT Radio is the best. That's all there is to it. We're better than Fox. We're better than Sky News. We're better than everything out there. And yes, I said it and I believe it. I love it. And I think you should love it too. And if you do love it, show the love. Okay, tell people about it. Spread the word. We're on Getter. We're on Instagram. We're on Gab. We're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. We're streaming live on YouTube. We're streaming live on Odyssey, on BitChute, on Rumble. We've got a website, tntradio.live. We've got apps on the App Store and the Google Play Store. If you really want to get behind independent radio and you really want to get behind the truth, seriously, play your part, step up to the plate and promote TNT Radio. Because listen, if we go down, maybe, and everyone else goes down, there's going to be nothing out there. And people say, oh, there's nothing out there. Yeah, and what did you do while there was something out there? Oh, that guy, Monk, he's a shill. He's a mason. He's satanic. See, you people. Oh, don't get me started on you people. But anyway, I'm going to take a deep breath. I'm going to have a little sip of H2O. Two atoms of hydrogen and one of oxygen, if chemistry and science is to be believed. And some of you people don't believe in anything out there. But I've got a bottle of water and I'm going to take a sip out of it. And when we come back, we're going to just have a love fest with Mr. Darren Janner. No, we're not here on TNT Radio.
headlines as they happen.
Every day, something new.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Darren, my old chum, how are you, sir?
Oh, very well. I was just sitting back with my hands behind my head, listening to your very, very ranty and extended monologue this morning. So it's good to see that you're in good spirits. And yet the Queen has finally been interred. Mm. And the North Korea-style forced mourning that we was all told we must endure mm-hmm. for 10 days is finally over. So I walked around my city, Plymouth, yesterday morning, yep. and it was like a lockdown yesterday.
Yep.
In fact, the only time I can remember ever being walking around anywhere in a industrial, you know, built-up area in this mm-hmm. country where it was as quiet as it was yesterday was during the first few weeks of the March 2020 mm-hmm. COVID lockdown. Mm-hmm. It was insane. Yep. It was really, really eerily quiet yesterday. So
I had a flashback like that too. I'm sorry to say, a miniature flashback to March 2020, mm-hmm. and I didn't like it. I didn't like that little feeling that I got as I walked around my town. Same thing.
Yeah, the quietness. I got home. It wasn't until I got home and as I was walking up my pathway to my front door, a place where I have stood tens of thousands of times probably in the last 2-3 years because I'm a smoker and I smoke outside. So and as I walked up the steps to my front door, I felt that quietness, that eeriness, that sort of loneliness, mm-hmm. that solitude mm-hmm. feeling that I'm sure we all felt mm-hmm. during the very first lockdown. So it was very weird and sort of uncanny. And, you know, I'm glad it's over because I got up and thought, oh, I'm on radio this morning. I'm talking to Rick. What am I going to talk about? Oh, they haven't talked about anything for 10 days. It's like the whole world stopped just for the Queen. There was no news stories. I mean, granted, I withdrawn from, taking part and listening to what was going on in the news. But I've, cost of living, forgotten about. Even the people traffickers shipping in migrants by the thousands through Dover every week, no boats yesterday. So even the people traffickers respected the Queen's funeral and respected England for one day on a bank holiday. And that tells you all you need to know, doesn't it? It does.
And I was the same. I mean, like, you know me, you're a simple guy. I'm a simple guy. We don't live extravagant lives. You like a little cup of coffee and a little walk around Plymouth. I like a little cup of coffee and a little walk around my town. And to be quite frank, mm-hmm. that just keeps me happy, keeps me going. Mm-hmm. And I immediately thought, hang on a minute, Monday? Am I not going to be able to get, and listen, this is not whining and this is first word problem stuff, but I'm just saying, you know, there's a point to this. I thought to myself, am I not going to be able to get what I want on Monday morning, Monday afternoon, Monday evening? And I walked around my whole town on Sunday, right? And I asked the shops, the coffee shops, I said, are you open to it? No. Are you open? No. And by the way, the independent ones, the little small businesses, they all decided to close. The only one that was going to be open yesterday was Cafe Nero. And when I went in and I asked them that because I wanted somewhere to have a coffee for flip's sake on a Monday morning, and they said, yes, we're open from 7 a.m. till 10:45 a.m. Then we're going to close from 10:45 to 2 and then we will be open again. And you know what? Love them or hate them, multinational or not, at least they were the only single shop in the entire city that I live in that had the nuts and the gonads to defy the virtue signaling and open their doors. So I'm going to give a shout out and a nod of respect to Cafe Nero because you know what? All the other chains and all the independents and all the people that would normally support, no, shutters down. No chance, no bueno, no chance, but they serve the purpose. So I'm going to doff my cap to them, at least for that one thing.
I couldn't find a shop open anywhere yesterday morning, anywhere. You know, I got home about midday from, you know, I go for a 2-hour walk most days and mm-hmm. I couldn't buy food for my, you know, like some, you know, potatoes and some veg mm-hmm. for my lunch. I went out in the evening to play darts down with friends. And, you know, I couldn't even get a bottle of Coke on the way home because the shops weren't opening until 5 p.m. in the evening. And then when I did go in finally go into a shop yesterday evening, again, it felt like lockdown almost, you know. It was really quite unnaturally busy because everybody was making up for the time that they had lost during the day. So yesterday was a very weird day. I'm glad it's all come to an end. And I'm just waiting for the new storylines to come in through the BBC, etc. It's all Queen at the moment, but we know there's going to be some new narratives weaved. You know, we've forgotten about the stuff prior to the Queen dying, whenever she died. And winter is about to begin for everybody in the UK and in the Northern Hemisphere.
It is. And you know what? There's a few other things. You know, I want to stay in this business for a while because, you know, as you're talking and as I'm thinking about it, I'm going, you know, was it really that bad yesterday? Was it like tomorrow? No, maybe we're overthinking this, but I'm going to tell you why we're not. You know, and let's talk about why we're not, even just for 5 minutes when we come back. We've got some ads here. Some of the things that I saw, I didn't like. And the way that it was feeling yesterday, I didn't like it because it brought back bad memories, all right, of that horrible period. And I thought, are we really going to just flick a switch and just everybody pulls the shutters down again, just like that? But anyway, it looks like it happened. But let's analyze it in a little bit more detail in a few minutes' time when we come back after these ads here on TNT Radio.
You should hear what Brian McLean is talking about.
COVID vaccines will likely become annual like flu shots, White House officials say, coming out of NBC here.
Health experts say getting regularly updated COVID shots will become routine.
We want to get into the cadence and the rhythm of about once per year get an annual shot.
I find it strange that these are the current NBC headlines, considering what we learned out of Israel last week on the show when we had Steve Kirsch on, because there's very, very compelling evidence here that we now have proof of serious side effects of unknown duration, perhaps irreparable. There's causality being shown there. These were not just coincidences. Government corruption to hide these harms. Correlation between vaccine doses and deaths from multiple independent studies on multiple independent data sets. And of course, no interest in seeing the expert report or video from any mainstream news media, any member of mainstream medical community, any lawmaker, any public health official, anywhere in the world.
Brian McLean on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
On the day that he was inaugurated, the Washington Post had an article on impeaching him.
I, Donald John Trump, do solemnly swear.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States.
They had an absolute legitimate meltdown.
If you try to change a system that big, the system fights back.
The story behind the biggest election takeover in history.
We're only now being able to finally confirm exactly how this worked.
Mark Zuckerberg and his wife are donating more money to local governments ahead of the election. $100 million on top of a $300 million gift.
The most money any individual has ever spent to win a presidential campaign in the history of our country.
I actually became infuriated that someone had allowed Zuckerberg to tip the scale.
The election was bought way before Election Day.
They stole it fair and square. They changed the voting rules in the middle of the game.
A nation divided.
This was the greatest billionaire assault on election integrity we've ever seen.
A billionaire-funded plot against the president.
Do you believe that they used the COVID emergency as an excuse to pull this partisan voter turnout operation?
Am I allowed to give you a one-word answer? Yes.
Rigged.
It was a rigged election. People have to find out what happened.
At SalemNow.com. Why listen to TNT Radio? Because friends don't let friends listen to mainstream media. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Indeed, friends don't let friends listen to mainstream media. I said it earlier on. You should be promoting this station. If you're listening and you're a fan, you should be promoting this station. And I don't mean taking a loan out, to take an ad out in your local newspaper. Just say to your friends, hey, by the way, there's an alternative to the BBC. There's an alternative to Sky News. There's an alternative to this. This is, oh, really? What is it? And you just tell them, look up tntradio.live, download the app. And then it doesn't matter if they do it or not, by the way, but you got to sow the seeds. You got to make people aware. Okay, so do your part and help promote the station. Because, listen, we all need a little helping hand. And we're young. We're in our infancy. We're growing up. We're getting strong. We can walk now. It's all developing beautifully. But it won't work without the support of people. Period. No endeavor will. Business can't survive without customers. Radio station can't survive without listeners and supporters. So do your part. And I know many of you are. And by the way, a big, massive salute to the people out there that are actually promoting the show of their own accord without any pressure from me or anybody else on their Instagram channels, their Telegram channels, their Twitter accounts, their social media accounts, taking clips of shows and promoting them, making mixes of them and linking it back to TNT Radio. You know who you are. I don't want to name names because I don't want to leave anybody out, offend anybody, but massive salute to anyone that even retweets anything or promotes anything to do with TNT Radio. There's a lot of promotion yesterday, Darren, as I walked the ghost town that was my town. Every mobile phone shop, you know, those Three stores and O2 stores and Vodafone stores, they all have these big fancy displays in their windows, you know, animated screens. They were all black. All of them were black. With the Queen's crest, ER, and her date of birth, yep. Or year of birth, everywhere. And year of death, which again, fair enough, but it was weird walking through the high street and seeing windows full of black squares with this on it. A guy who I love very much and has been on the show quite a few times, Mick Chaves, Mad Mick's Conspiracies, he did a great talk about this last night. He talked about mourning, you must mourn. And I thought, you know, how's he going to really get this one across? And he did it brilliantly. He talked about the first lockdown. He said it was like that all over again. We saw people out on Sunday night panic buying bread and milk, you know, that they couldn't survive for one day. And the same people, we've been telling them for a year, be prepared for the winter. Be prepared for fear. Oh, there's not going to be a problem. You're fear-mongering. And the same Muppets run to the shops on Sunday night because they think for 1 hour or 2 hours on a Monday morning they can't get a loaf of bread. And yet they ignore long-term plans. And lastly, I thought this was a Photoshop. I don't know if you've seen this or not. On TV, on Sky TV, I don't have Sky anymore. I just unsubscribed a long time ago. But there's like adult channels. Yeah, loads of adult channels, porn channels, chat channels, babe station, and I don't know, porn this or whatever. There's about 15 or 20 of them, maybe. They were all broadcasting the Queen's funeral yesterday, right? I thought it was a Photoshop. It wasn't. You could not even watch. If you paid for it and were that way inclined, you couldn't even watch a little bit of that.
It's like forced mourning. And yeah. We poured scorn on countries like North Korea, which is a classic example where they've had the Jong family. Is it what's his name? He's been out of the news for so long, I've almost forgotten his name. Yeah, is it Kim Il-jung, the Kim family that have been Kim dynasty of North Korea, where they have to like pay homage and go and visit the shrines and mourn. And they've been doing it for decades and decades and decades. And we used to pour scorn and we used to laugh. Look at this communist country with their forced mourning. And yet for the last 10 days, to be expected to some extent, we have seen that situation in the UK. You know, we've got pictures, images of the Queen on every single shop in multiple places, on newspapers, it's in the TV. It's on porn programming. Porn. Yeah. You know, some greasy, you know, 40-year-old bloke, virgin, fat, with big, thick milk bottle bastards and that. He's whacked on Babe Station with his Vaz. and he's got a picture of Queen Elizabeth II. He must have been gutted.
Or maybe not. Maybe not. There's a lot of weirdos out there, mate. There's a lot of weirdos. And Jimmy Savile being one, he was fond of dead bodies. He was fond of necrophilia. He was a friend of Prince Charles. I'm sure deep down in the depths of hell, as he's roasting alive for all eternity, maybe even old Jimmy had a moment of pleasure as the porn channels were replaced by coverage of the funeral. Nothing surprises me. I thought it was a Photoshop. Someone put this up. Someone put a screenshot up of the sky. And I thought, that's a joke. That is a joke. You're paying a subscription, right? Or even a black and white movie or some kids' cartoons, whatever. You want to watch. You want to get away from this. There's no escape. You want a coffee? You can't get one. You want to buy a mobile phone? There's a black screen. You want to buy some milk? It's closed. And there's a message up in the window. We our staff will take this time to mourn and pay the respects. No, they won't. They probably went and got a carrier. And good for the staff, by the way, if they got a bank holiday off the back of this and got their head shard for a day, good. I'm glad for the staff. But in general, it sends out a message to the globalists to say, we're still going to bend over if you tell us to do it. No problem. And we won't even have to think twice about it. A better topic here because this could get graphic. This could get graphic. And we don't want to go down that road.
But the compliance was immediate, like you said.
Immediate.
And the
just
WEF
like
have just published an article recently in the last few days saying they were amazed with the compliance of lockdowns during the 2 years of the pandemic. And why don't we utilize this compliance for climate change? Mm-hmm. And we've just given them another little reminder of how easy mm-hmm. it is. You just need the death of somebody. We can shut down our whole country completely just like that.
And no kickback. People grumbled. But like lockdown, people grumbled. Like injections, people grumbled. Like masking kids in schools, people grumble. But they still take it. And this is giving messages. This is fed back straight to the powers that be. Hey, they're still broken and they're still compliant. In fact, more so now than they were to you. Not better, worse, I say. But we've got to take like a massively quick news break, and when we come back, let's look at some of the other things that have been going on. Because believe it or not, there is a whole big world out there outside of Westminster Abbey, and the cabal that was gathered there yesterday in London. And we're going to look at some other things that are happening when we come back here on TNT Radio.
Darren Metzer here with a look at your TNT Radio news headlines. At least two people have died in Puerto Rico as a result of Hurricane Fiona. The devastating weather event could become a major hurricane by Wednesday, with winds reaching 111 miles per hour. Also, a man has been arrested after a major police operation shut down the court precinct in Melbourne's CBD after reports of a man with petrol cans and hazardous materials started behaving erratically.
Did you know there are many ways you can listen to TNT Radio? Why not stream us direct from our website on your desktop, tablet, or mobile device? Or download our app from the App Store? We even stream live on YouTube, Rumble, and Odyssey. We've got you covered on TNT Radio.
Yeah, we've got you covered here on TNT Radio. What else caught your eye? You know, what else has been catching your eye about what's going on? I want to talk about this trust. I want to talk about money. But before we do, you know, the spectacle, the gathering of Trudeau and Jacinda Ardern. I don't know if you heard her talking about her clothes, actually promoting the New Zealand clothes designers at the funeral yesterday. I'll get into that in a minute. But what else caught your eye?
This weekend there has been a lot of trouble in the cities in the Midlands, Leicester. There's been ongoing confrontations between Hindu men, Sikhs, mm-hmm. and Muslim men. There's a big multicultural, it's very diverse, Leicester. In fact, it's been hailed as a model of multiculturalism and diversity. Look at our city. We've got all these different people who've all come in through Dover from all over the world. And there's been running street battles. The police said, oh, don't worry, only 25 of our police officers have been injured. It's not too bad. It's hardly been reported in the mainstream news and BBC until recently, until sort of the last day or so, because this has been going on for, it's been building up all week. It's not been reported why there's a conflict. It's only just been reported, you know, the nationalities or the ethnicities of these men. And the worrying thing is, in particular with the Muslim men who've been taking part in these street battles in one of, you know, in a quite a big city, is that they managed to mobilize an army of men from outside of the city, and they were there quickly. Within hours of this conflict brewing, they had people pouring in out of the city, Muslim men, to come and confront these Hindus. And I still don't know what the issue is. It really should be a massive story. And the thing that, as an Englishman, as a white Englishman, if I'm allowed to say that, the concern
is... No, you're not. That's it's not PC. It's not acceptable. And no more of that. No more of that talk. You can't mention
the fact that you're white. Sorry, I didn't mean to be racist towards myself.
Oh, shocking altogether. You ought to know better than that.
If these ethnic groups can mobilize like they have done in Leicester over the last sort of 3, 4, 5 days... What happens when these people decide that we're going to turn on the white English people of Leicester? Yeah, because we're not you know, the indigenous population of this country isn't in a situation where we think we need to quickly mobilize a lot of men to take on an opposing group somewhere else in the city or the country, because you know, we this is our country. And yet and it's just a demonstration that we are actually effectively through the ports of Dover and allowing this situation where we've got thousands of illegal immigrants entering the country, importing a foreign army. These people potentially will turn on us just like they've turned on each other in Leicester. And this is an isolated incident of these ethnic groups battling each other. It happens all over the country all the time, and this isn't reported. So this is a major story that's sort of being quietly brushed underneath the carpet while we've had the Queen's funeral. And actually, it should be a headline right now, because we don't want these warring factions in our city, and we don't want to keep importing them.
And I'll tell you what I've noticed is, and by the way, I have a contact in Leicester, who shall not be named, but he's been giving me a bit of a breakdown on what's going on. And it's focusing on certain areas in the city at the moment, but it seems to be spreading its tentacles further afield, to the point whereby various gangs are targeting homes based on maybe stuff they see in their windows, and they're breaking windows and they're terrorizing the inhabitants. This is ongoing at the minute. And one thing that I've seen, to answer, and this is disturbing a little bit, and I'm not knocking the police here, but what I'm seeing is that the police are completely out of their depth and completely ill-equipped to deal with something like this in the way that they're dealing with it. Now, let me clarify that. I'm seeing cops in high-vis jackets with no body armor in the middle of these mobs, literally in the middle, maybe 10, 15 cops with, you know, their truncheons drawn or their batons drawn, and maybe the odd dog here and there. And they're literally saying, stay back, stay back. They're completely powerless. I mean, if that mob turned on them, they're dead in literally 60 seconds. Eviscerated, if that was the case. Okay, there was a stabbing in London. A guy stabbed two police officers in and around the time of the Queen's wake. I've seen the footage of it. Okay, the guy was tasered first. He pulled the tasers off him. He jumped up and then stabbed two police. And there was 6 to 8 police officers surrounding him. They couldn't stop him. It took 8 to 10 of them to subdue that man after he had been tased. And listen, I'm not judging anyone, but I'm saying, mate, if it takes 8 to 10 cops tasering a guy who still gets up and stabs two of them, potentially mortally wounding them, and it takes another 8 to bring them down, what are they going to do against 100, 200, 300, 400 people? And if they're off their heads on PCP or angel dust or cooked up or whatever, and they get these mad superpowers as well, and they're foaming at the mouth, it's not good. You got to send in the rat squad, and you got to use force. And they're not prepared to do that because they're tippy-toeing around.
They don't want to be called racist. They don't want to go in heavy-handed against these people. And they were mobs of hundreds and hundreds of men terrorizing the eastern part of Leicester City. Yeah. Yep. if we have peaceful protests saying we just want our freedoms back, and it's mostly, you know, middle-aged white people, men and women and children, just, you know, with banners, we get the riot squad. We get the baton charges. We get the men all dressed up in their armor and black and looking menacing. But if we get a load of Muslim men who are throwing firebombs and trashing houses and smashing people's cars up, running through the city, yeah, like you said, they get a few high vises and one police dog. And I've seen probably the same sort of images that you have. And these groups of people don't care about them. They just march straight over them.
They laugh at them, mate. They laugh at them. And here's the thing. So people know that we're not being racist. If it was a group of white guys, send in the rat squad. If they're Chinese, send in the rat squad. If they're LGBTQ, send in the rat squad. If they're straight, send in the rat squad. If any group of people, I don't care what their ethnicity is, I don't care what their skin color is, I don't care about what their sexual orientation is. If there's a group of people terrorizing a neighborhood and terrorizing other people and they won't respond to requests to disperse and peace, send in the rat squad. Mm-hmm. Give the message out that this behavior will not be tolerated, irrespective of who you are or where you live. You will not terrorize other people on these soils. But that message is not being given out. And for as long as we're namby-pambying around with any group, people will say they're weak. They're weak and we can get away with this. And they will continue to, and dare I say, darn it, will escalate. It will continue to escalate until we're seeing people beheaded. Watch and see.
Bradford, you know, this Leicester, it's like a fire that's been lit. Now, I don't know. They're saying in the news, BBC, it's the only, pretty much the only non-Queen story I can find. Said, oh, please said it's quiet and down in Leicester now, blah, blah. But, you know, is it going to happen in Bradford, London, any of Manchester, Birmingham, any of these major multicultural centres where we have large communities of Hindus or Muslims or whoever it may be, because they don't integrate with our society. Are we suddenly going to see mass riots break out across the country? Yeah, and then are we going to then get whitewashed by the BBC saying, oh, there's nothing to see here, it's minor disturbances, it's nothing to do with their ethnicity, etc., etc.? You know, it could be, we might see not just a winter of discontent when people are unhappy about cost of living, etc., but we may see these cross-ethnic tensions in cities when they have religious beefs with each other, because that's what it's ultimately about.
Yeah.
Are we going to see these groups explode during the winter under the pressure that everybody's been
put
under?
I think we will, because we're in the UK, or Ireland, okay, and France, and Germany, and everywhere. There are massive blocks of foreign men, predominantly men, and this is a fact, predominantly young, fighting-age men being bussed into quiet, peaceful rural areas en masse. That creates a little bit of tension. Understandably, a little bit of friction. It's like, okay, let's reverse this. Let's say we take 100 guys, you, me, plus 100 of your buddies from Plymouth, right? And we dump them into some village somewhere in rural Africa. You don't think that's going to create tension? You don't think people are going to raise an eyebrow? You don't think people are going to be uneasy? You don't think people are going to ask questions like, why are they here? They're not working. How are they going to live? Where are they going to live? Oh, we're going to put them into your houses and we're going to give them... Now, listen, it doesn't work anywhere else, okay? So this model of fling open the doors and let anybody in and let's support them, listen, it never has and it never will work. And I believe it's part of the plan to destabilize our nations. Yeah. By all means, help those that are genuinely needy if you have the capacity to do it. But we don't have the capacity. We don't have the infrastructure, and the people that are being brought in, many, many of them aren't even vetted for security purposes. Stuff I've read today, Venezuela are emptying their prisons and sending the people straight to the border of America, and in they go. Just emptying their prisons. You know why? Because it costs money to keep prisoners. So why not just chuck them all onto the border and let them run into Mexico? and from Mexico into California, and then from California into Martha's Vineyard, and from Martha's Vineyard to who knows where. The bad hombres, as Trump called them, let them go somewhere else.
I mean, the Venezuelan story, hey, he's being smart. He's being smart. You can just put your hands on yours. Yeah, let's send them all to America. Good idea.
Let's get rid of them.
Good idea.
Let's send them to Biden's America.
We're allowing, in the West, we're allowing in an invasive species. And I say that using the analogy, say, in the UK, of we had lovely bushy-tailed red squirrels here once upon a time. Mm-hmm. And then we let in some gray squirrels. And even though we didn't let in that many gray squirrels, those gray squirrels wiped out the majority of the red squirrels. Mm-hmm. And actually, this is just the law of nature. You're allowing an invasive species, it quite often will destroy the indigenous species. And that's going to be no different. We might think, oh, we're much better than these men that they're letting in. Yeah, but they've come here with a mission in mind. And I think they want this country for their own. Ultimately, why wouldn't they? No different to America. The Spanish people of South America are going to want that country for themselves and their own rules and rights and special privileges.
Exactly. And we've said this before as well. If you and I were somewhere in, Eastern Europe or Northeast Africa, living a life of poverty, and we thought, hey, if we can scrape enough together, make our way to France and get over to Dover, we'll get a house, we'll get a medical treatment, we'll get a 3-year visa, we'll get a right to work, we'll get this, we'll get that. I would be coming as well. And so would you, because the message is being given out. Welcome, welcome, doesn't matter who you are, welcome. We're going to look after you and give you lots of money, more than you would ever have where you are. Of course, you're going to take them up on the offer. So I don't begrudge the people that are coming in, because they're being given a message. Welcome and have your fill while you're here. I would be doing the same thing. The problem lies with our governments. The problem lies with our so-called leaders that are supposed to be protecting our borders and vetting people coming in, but instead they're throwing them open as part of this globalist plan to destabilize the world. And you know what? It is working. And I fear, my friend, we are going to see the full extent of this over the next 12 to 24 months as these things begin to erupt and as these groups get bigger and they're growing by the day. We've got to take a real quick break. Very intense show today, but you know what? Things need to be addressed. Things need to be said. And I'm speaking facts. I'm detaching myself, my emotions. I'm speaking facts. I'm saying what I see. And, it's out there in the public domain. It's out there in the public domain. But anyway, quick ad break coming up here. And when we come back, we'll be looking at Liz Truss. Some of Liz's, decisions that she's made over the last 24 hours that may not necessarily be in the best interests of the people of Blighty. So we'll do that when we come back after these ads on TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
He's back. Dr. Michael Mann, that is. And the latest spiel out of Mann is trying to weaponize the typhoon that hit Japan. Now, we were telling people a week away this was going to happen, for one. But apparently, he either does not know the history of Western Pacific typhoons or does and weaponizes them anyway. If you look at the 1959 typhoon season, I can bring up dozens of them, you can see how much more active it used to be. Yet, we get a super typhoon. Shock! We got a super typhoon in the typhoon season! And we're seeing the same thing with the propaganda on Fiona. It took it 8 days to develop, for goodness sakes. That's not a sign of climate change. You'd argue it's the other way. Sorry about getting a little bit out of whack here. I'm going to try to enjoy the weather. I want you to also try to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got. And in case you don't know who this is, WeatherBell.com meteorologist Joe Bastardi for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative, this is Viewpoint.
In fiscal year 2019, 2,800 pounds of fentanyl was seized at the US-Mexico border. The following year, 4,800 pounds was seized, and in fiscal year 2021, seizures totaled 11,200 pounds. The figures indicate fentanyl seizures under Biden quadrupled since fiscal year 2019, when Trump was in office. Fentanyl is primarily flown from China to Mexico before the Mexican cartels traffic it across the southern border. Only a fraction of fentanyl trafficked across the border is seized by Department of Homeland Security. The Center for Disease Control, CDC, reported that more than 100,000 Americans died from drug overdoses in the past 12 months, and two-thirds of those deaths were linked to fentanyl.
Democracy is under attack. The Australian government wants to control free speech and the internet with the Australian Code of Practice on Disinformation and Misinformation. Disagree with what government is saying and you'll be shut down and could face severe penalties. To find out more, go to digi.org.au. Lighting the fuse for freedom. This is TNT Radio.
Okay, I'm talking as I do on a Tuesday with my old sparring partner, Darren Janner. Do you want to let people know if you have a Twitter handle, or do you want to stay on the QT?
I would rather. It's doing very well as well at the moment, so I would rather stay anonymous.
That's all right.
So many different security things in place to try and not lose this particular account.
I get it.
It's doing very well.
Well, we'll stay Stoom. The only reason why I said that was obviously I try and promote whoever I'm talking with, but given your track record of being blitzed, maybe say nothing and let the thing grow organically is the key.
Yeah.
You know, if anybody wants to really do a bit of detective work, have a sniff around my stream and, you know, you'll maybe figure out who Darren is. But anyway, yeah, let's keep that one quiet. I'm going to give you a choice here. I'm going to give you a choice. Oh. I said I would like to talk about Liz Truss. One of our lovely listeners has messaged me. He's listening into the show. Peter, in my own home turf area of Lisburn, County Down, a.k.a. Pavel Brovsky on Twitter, has said, "Hey, Rick, what do you guys think of Joe Biden claiming the pandemic is over? So do you want to address that, or do you want to look at this trust, or we're going to try and squeeze them both in? What do you think about that?"
It's almost like me and you have some sort of psychic connection, because I've got that in my notes, and I was thinking about that during the break, the pandemic over, and did he mean it? He may have meant it, but he might not have meant to say it. And they are already scrambling to try and not pull the rug from under his feet, because that was pulled, you know, a couple of years ago. To try and, you know, Fauci's coming and saying, "Oh no, it's not quite over yet. It's not quite over." Big Pharma are probably really unhappy. Patrick was referring to this in one of the ad sections right at the very beginning of the show. The pandemic is over, if anyone's actually noticed the pandemic. I believe that there is going to be a narrative change. They've got to try and get away from COVID as fast as they can now. As much as they want to use it as a profit-making tool, I don't think the new jab's being taken very seriously. No. Monkeypox has died. It didn't work. Bringing COVID back now when huge swathes of additional people are aware of the lies that they've been told and the vaccine harms and the unnecessary nature of all the restrictions that were implemented on us. So when Joe Biden said that, I thought, yeah, I think the pandemic is over. And if everyone behaves like that, then it definitely is over. And we're seeing the evidence of that, because after the funeral stuff has died down in a few more days, we're going to probably have a few more days of it. It's going to be cost of living, climate change, ram down our throats during the winter.
Yeah, the narrative, the COVID narrative is undoubtedly crumbling, although some places are desperately trying to, you know, hang on to it, you know, with clenched fists, like New York, for example, are still sacking teachers because they haven't had their jabs. You know, people are still suspended in Australia because they haven't had their jabs. Whereas in the UK, of course, we had a massive callback in November 2021, 66,000 care home workers all lost their jobs because they didn't take it. They tried to force it on the NHS. They kicked back for the 1st of April this year deadline, and they reversed, or Sajid Javid at the time backed off on that one. So there's no consistency there. And in relation to Biden's statement, I do believe, you know, he is senile. He has advanced dementia. He does say gobbledygook, and he does blurt out things that he shouldn't be saying, despite the fact that he has handlers, he reads off a teleprompter, but he comes out with these things that caused the pharma stocks to absolutely tank yesterday. The rest of the market was recovering. It was all green, and then they had Pfizer. I think there was $10 billion wiped off the value of big pharma stocks just by him saying that. But they can afford that, mate. $10 billion to Pfizer, that's about a month's profit. But yes, I do believe it was a slip. But having said that, even Jacinda Ardern this week, that evil witch of New Zealand, she even said, we're talking about the booster, she said, you know what, people, in her words, people don't seem to be going down that route. So let's just live and let live. That old narrative, the people that bought into it will still continue to, but they've reached that point where they know they're not going to get us. They're not going to get us to comply. So they need something fresh. And I believe there's something on the horizon, horrific, some spectacular event that will blow your mind. All right. What exactly that is, when exactly it will happen, I don't know, but they need some 9/11-esque event to really take the wind out of people's sails and get them to go, I'll do anything, just keep me safe.
And the rumour flying around social media, you know, people at dates that people have actually latched on. And I don't necessarily think there's anything in it myself. Everyone's talking about the 24th of September, which is this Saturday. This is going back to a speech made in German Parliament where whoever it was, the guy who was speaking, the orator said, oh, the 24th of September is a date that we will always remember. And a lot of people say, no, he just made a mistake. He mixed up September with February and it was Putin's invasion of Ukraine. That might well be the case, you know. And there's no real context. Even if you watch around the speech, it just says this one particular statement. And I find it very odd that someone would not correct themselves or confuse February with September. I find that odd. So there's lots of other circumstances, and it's all sort of probably meaningless. But like you said, there is probably some big event. They're going to need a new catalyzing event is the term they quite like. A catalyzing event like Pearl Harbor was something that has been discussed in the past at elite levels in the intelligence circles. And, you know, maybe that we're going to have something like that coming this
winter. And I'm not following it anywhere near the way I used to, but the Ukraine-Russian narrative has very much switched to Putin is losing, we're gaining ground, we're beating him, he's getting desperate, he's getting upset, he's getting angry. Don't put it past him to detonate a large bomb or do a horrific event resulting in mass loss of life. And when Biden was asked hypothetically what would happen if that was to take place, he said, well, you know, there's going to be consequences like you never seen before. Mm-hmm. Personally speaking, I believe I don't put anything past the American government. They will stop at nothing, and nothing will be too far beneath them, no level to stoop to achieve their ends. I would not be surprised to see a horror attack, maybe a nuclear. And again, people are saying there's no such thing as nuclear bombs. You've been conned. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if there's nuclear bombs. It's bombs. It's explosives. It's people dying for sake. Wind your necks in out there. Oh, you're being conned. There's no such thing. It doesn't really matter. If I get blown up by a hand grenade, mate, or I get hit by a hydrogen bomb.
It wasn't a nuclear bomb. Dead. It wasn't a grenade, Rick. It wasn't a grenade. But I'm dead.
Anyway,
no, it wasn't a grenade.
I digress a little bit. This is another thing. Anyway, people sitting going, there's no such, everything's a lie. The sun's not real. You're on a flat. Okay, that's fine. You keep doing your research, and I'll keep trying to live in the real world. But the point that I'm making is, it doesn't matter if it's a nuclear bomb. It doesn't matter if it's 5,000 hand grenades. It doesn't matter if it's a mortar attack or an artillery strike. There's going to be something horrible. It'll be blamed on Russia, And the retaliation will be then to justify using extreme force, more loss of life. We're all at risk. Please save us. Please do whatever you need to do to defeat that evil man. And thus, more restrictions, regulations, sanctions, etc. That's
what the stage is set in Ukraine for a false flag event. Every major conflict has required a false flag event from the American side for them to engage. I'm not saying Pearl Harbor was a false flag event, but they knew it was going to happen. You've got the Lusitania in the First World War. That brought the Americans into that. Vietnam was turned into a full-scale conflict with American direct involvement through a false flag event. Iraq, Afghanistan, you go on and on and on. We haven't really seen that yet in the Ukraine. It's a proxy war fought with our armaments. But for a direct engagement, if that's what the US wants, and hey, the people who promote these wars are psychopaths. Of course they want it. It doesn't hurt them. They make money from it. You can see, you've got these nuclear reactors that are being occupied by Russian forces. They've been trying to attack those sites. We've heard about the mass graves that they've recently found as Ukraine has regained 2% of the territory that they've lost. So Ukraine haven't suddenly started winning. I think the Russians have withdrawn and allowed them to take that land for some strategic reason, which we'll probably see in the coming weeks. The stage is set, mate. And with this 24th of September, nuclear is the word that people are talking in conjunction with it. So let's see what happens.
I think we'll still be around next week. Maybe we will, maybe we won't. Time will tell. But I'm not losing sleep over it because, listen, I know there's more to come. When it comes, it's neither here nor there, but there's certainly more to come. Darren, my friend, a big salute to you as always. You go and enjoy the rest of your day, whatever you're going to do in Plymouth. I will take a deep breath and we'll get ready for my next guest, Ben Pyle, who's coming up after the news. And all you lovely listeners, don't go away. We'll be right back here on TNT Radio.